John 14, and continuing in this subject that we've been talking about on the peace of God, in John 14, and verse 1, it says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You what? You believe in God, believe also in me." So this scripture, when it says, "Let not," the inference is there, who? You. That means each one of us, we have to take control. We have to not let what? Our heart or our spirit be troubled. It says, "Believe in God, believe also in me." Now let's go down to verse 27. John 14, 27, and this is who's speaking here. This is Jesus speaking. And what does he say here? He said, "Peace, what? I leave you. My peace I do what? I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." You know, sometimes I remember when Leanne Sozeby was here, she was sharing about how she kept saying, "God, you don't talk to me, you don't talk to me, you know, you don't say anything to me." And she said in her little smart alecky way, you know, in her young, smart alecky way, she just kept saying that. And the Lord said, "Are you calling me a liar?" And she said, "No, Lord, you're just not talking to me." He said, "Who said so? Are you calling me a liar?" She said, "No, Lord." And then he began to do what? Reveal to her that the same way that she had to believe that Jesus is Lord and to confess with her mouth that he was raised from the dead, she had to do the same thing concerning this. It's the same application. You may not sense his presence, and you may not be aware of his peace, but you're going to have to say what you don't see and what you don't sense. So the same thing applies here. This says here, "Peace I do what? I leave you. My peace I give unto you." So who's, you say, "Well, I just don't have peace." Oh, so you're calling Jesus a liar then. Because he said, "My peace I give to you." You know, let me digress a second. I was watching something. I took the time to watch it. This was Billy Brim. I was just watching something they were streaming the other day. And they're doing something called Back Porch with Billy. So they build this little set on their stage, and it looks like a back porch. And they wanted to kind of mimic what they do when they go over to her house. They sit around on the back porch and they talk, right? They talk about the Lord. So she was just sharing some things. And then her son, Chip Brim, who's now, he's the pastor of a glorious church, he was sharing something, and just stay with me here. I'm just going to share this, this little piece. Chip was saying that he went to pick up Norval Hayes when Norval was alive. He went to pick him up for something they were doing at his church. And he said, this was years ago, he saw this happen. So he said, Norval said to him in the car, "Would you like to know what the Lord said to me when I was out in the spirit on the stage?" He said, "Yes." So this is what happened. Norval was teaching somewhere, and he was talking about something. I guess he didn't say whether he used the person's name. But he said, this boy was, you know, was living such a way. Norval said, "Well, I guess he just went to hell." And he said, boom! He said, Norval just got laid out on the floor. And he said they knew he wasn't dead because he was breathing. He was out in the spirit. And so Chip said, yeah, I'd like to know what the Lord said to you. He said, the Lord said to me, who are you to say who goes to hell and who doesn't? And I was like, ooh, ooh, ooh. That's an ouch. He said, the Lord said to them, who are you to determine who goes to hell and who's not going to hell? And so they began to take that conversation and they elongated a little bit, talking about how God sends angels and angelic hosts down, and we are called to pray for people that will send angels and to influence people to come to know Jesus. And then they were talking, which I did, I purchased this book, and Billy Brim was talking about this particular book. You might get it in the bookstore, but it's called In Heaven, I guess His Visitation to Heaven is by Dean Braxton. But anyways, he was talking about his experience in heaven and what he saw. And it lined up along that line with that. So the point I'm saying with all of that is, who are we to determine whether I have peace or not? Jesus said, I give you my peace. And just because I'm consulting my feelings is not determining whether I have it or not. In other words, you have to do what? You have to believe it and do what? Receive it. You have to say, thank you, Lord, I receive that. I receive your peace. And I believe the peace of God is working in me. And your flesh can be crawling, your mind can be screaming, but you are going to have to accept what Jesus said. Otherwise, you're calling him a liar. Otherwise, you're judging the word as not being true. He said, my words are spirit and life. And we have to, regardless of our feelings, we are going to have to accept the word for what it says, especially if Jesus is speaking. Especially. He says, my peace I give you, right? And I leave you, my peace I give you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not. So then he says, don't let your heart be troubled. I gave it to you. Accept it. Neither let your what? Neither let it be afraid. Neither let your heart be afraid. So we can refuse or we can accept to be troubled. Or we can refuse to be troubled. We can say, I choose not to think about this. I am not going to be troubled. I am not going to let my heart be troubled. And I'm not going to let my heart be afraid. I mean, we can go and look at Psalm 91. Same thing. And so, you know, you can turn the news on and let them spill out a bunch of things that are going on and let your heart be troubled. But he said, do not let your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. Because when we do, what does it actually affect? Fear and faith can't be in the same household. It's going to affect your faith. And that's the thing that we need to guard against, that we don't let our hearts be troubled, because where does faith come from? Faith comes from the heart. And so if you get over into fear or you let your heart be weighed down or troubled, it's going to affect your confidence. It is. I mean, I've heard Pastor Greg talk about it so many times, you know, his stories of basketball. And he'd say, we would come in. And he said, we would purposely wear tall hats coming in because then it made us look taller. Even though we were 6'5", we put on a big hat. We look like we're 6'8 or 6'9". I played basketball in high school, and I remember playing on the court. And these guys were from, we played Power Memorial out of New York City. Jesus. My head came up to this guy's rear end. I'm serious. He was about 6'11". And I'm like, I'm not Spud Webb. You know what I mean? Spud was short. Didn't matter how short he was. Spud would, he'd dunk. But my point in all of that is, Pastor Greg used to say, we'd walk in and we would try to get in their head and intimidate them. And he said, they were actually better than we were, but we got in their head and they forgot all of their skills and ability, and we got in their head. That's what the devil tries to do. He tries to get in your head with stuff going on, and you forget who you are. You forget who's in you. And you look at your outside, you look at all of this stuff going on, and you forget that he that is born of him, has, he said, if you're born of God, whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And what is overcoming the world? Even our faith. So we need to make sure that we guard our hearts and our minds at all cost. And we choose, we determine, we decide. That's the thing that sometimes, you know, we just, I think as we grow spiritually, we become more aware. We're made in the image and likeness of God. That means we have a free will. That's why when he said, choose what you think, I said, here, choose life and death. You can choose life or death because you're made God-like. He gave us the free moral right to choose. We can choose him or we can choose to go to hell. And he said, look, I made you like me. You chose. I didn't coerce you. I didn't make you. You made a choice. And the same thing goes with our thinking. We can choose to not think on something. We can say, I'm not going to think on that. Doesn't mean, you know, sometimes when we think about that, and let's not get over in the ditch over here either. It doesn't mean I'm just not going to even think about it at all. What it means is not be concerned about it. Maybe that's a better way of saying. When I say we're not going to think about it, it doesn't mean I'm just not going to think about it at all. It means I'm not going to be concerned about this. I'm not going to have anxious thought. I'm not, because anxious thought, concerned thought, is what causes your heart to be troubled. And what? Weighed down. See, if I'm not going to think about it, then why would I go to God and pray about it? I'm just not going to talk about it. I'm not going to think about it. I'm not going to talk. That's foolishness too. Because he said, bring all your requests to him with prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. Well, you had to think about it. It just said, don't lean to your understanding. Don't do that. See? So we choose. We get to choose, and we choose what he has said. We get to choose that. So we choose to believe his word. So John, the good news, it says, don't be worried. This is John 14:27. Do not be worried and upset. Do not be afraid. The Amplified says, do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Stop allowing yourselves to be agitated and disturbed. See, that right there is a key. If you're agitated and disturbed about something, you're letting your heart be troubled. And that's not from God. You're thinking on something and it's causing you to be agitated. Or you're letting someone agitate you. It can be someone. You know, I find, you know, I don't know about you, but The longer I walk in these spiritual things, when I get in conversations with someone, whoever that is, if it gets over into, if the conversation starts to get over into more of a agitated kind of a state, I table it. I table it because it's going nowhere. And why get yourself all agitated about something? Because we're not on the same page at this point. So you know what? Either that or God in the middle of that will give you another way to express it so that it brings peace. You see? It doesn't necessarily mean we're not going to continue the conversation, but maybe the way we're talking about something is causing agitation. Maybe we need to just table it, or maybe we need to express it a different way, because sometimes, you know this, just in interactions with people, maybe the way you're saying it, the person, you say it another way, and they go, oh, that's what you meant. You know what I mean? Sometimes they go, oh, and then the light bulb goes on just because you expressed it another way, and they go, oh, that's what you meant. And then the whole tenor of the conversation changes. See, rather than you just keep plowing away and you're hitting a brick wall, right? You know, have smart enough sense to just say, you know what, this conversation is not working here. Table it or change the way you're talking, right? And that's really what we're saying here. Stop allowing yourselves to be agitated and disturbed, and do not permit yourselves to be fearful and intimidated and cowardly and unsettled. The Passion Translation, don't yield to fear or be troubled in your hearts. Instead, be courageous. So don't yield to fearful thoughts. Fearful thoughts come in. What's going to happen here? What about this money? What about this bill? What about this health diagnosis? What about this? Don't let fear in. Doesn't mean that it doesn't exist, but how am I going to handle the information? How am I going to handle this information? Am I going to now meditate on it and get concerned about it? Don't let fear in. You know, I had a choice. I'm telling you, I've just learned some of these things, you know, through the years. I remember when the Lord spoke to me and said, if I didn't get my stomach checked, I wouldn't see the end of the year. I had to make some choices. I had 6 months to live in his book. And so I had to then start seeing some doctors. Well, doctors, you know how doctors are. If you don't do this, blah, 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 blah. That's all it is blah, blah, blah to me. I see lips moving. And so, you know, I'm listening down here. How is this bearing witness with my spirit? It doesn't mean that, because even some, that, you know, I took the medicine. I didn't ignore it. I took the medicine that they told me. I didn't ignore that. I didn't say, forget you. But I'm listening down here, and there were a few. I just didn't go back. I had a check. I had a check here. Something wasn't right. I wasn't saying, you know, I mean, you hear me, I joke about it. I said the person was an idiot, but no, I mean, they were competent, and I'm sure in what they were doing, but just their words. The Holy Ghost was saying, no, this is not it. This is not the right way. Don't be pressured into making choices. Don't let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And so I remember the minute I changed paths, I went to another person. And the minute I went, this person started speaking life. He was a chiropractor, but he was a nutritionist. Minute I saw him, my spirit went, yes. There was a green light. I sensed it. This was it. And so that's all I'm saying is that in life, don't let fear grip you. Oh my God, what am I going to do? I remember one time I had this car accident and I got served with papers. This was almost 30 years ago, 35 years ago. No, more than that. Would have been 34 years ago. And I got served some papers for over $250,000 to be sued. And I'll tell you, my thinking was, man, you're done. You this is it. And I remember thoughts just screaming in my mind. I'm working here at the ministry. I just started. I'm thinking, boy, it's all over. That was the thought. And I'm thinking, man, and this ain't going to go good here. And I'm sitting in my office, and up from here, Scripture came. Malachi 3:10. I had to quick go look it up. I said, man, let me go look that up. I started to shout. I was doing a dance in my office. I'm serious. Because it was hope. It was life. It was a direction. And nobody taught me these things. Even though I'm here in the ministry, it was new. Some of it was new, but I just took that word and I began to speak it. And every time those thoughts would come, they'd come like arrows, constantly, constantly. And every time they'd come, I'd say, no, God spoke to me, and he said, if I bring my tithe into the storehouse, I won't have room enough to contain it, and he'll open the windows of heaven, and he said he would rebuke the devourer. Satan, you're rebuked. You're rebuked from around me in the name of Jesus. Now, I'd like to say that that just changed everything, but it didn't, because there was a natural process that had to unfold. So I had to go through depositions. You had to see lawyers. You had to do all this stuff. But at the very end, it was all settled within my insurance policy. All of it. Which I had at that time, the bare minimum insurance on my car. So they found a way to settle it. So all I'm saying is, don't let your heart be troubled and don't let it be afraid. Stuff can come. Life can happen. Stuff can happen in your life, and you're just going to have to seek God, look to him, and stay in the Word of God. Let that be your guide. Let that be the path that you take, right? This translation says, don't let anxiety, no fear, trouble your hearts. Don't do it. Don't let that. John 16, verse 33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. That word tribulation means pressure, oppression, affliction, tribulation, distress, difficulties. But Jesus is saying, even in the midst of this, he said, be of good cheer, I've overcome. He said, I've given you my peace. So we need to be more convinced. I think, say it in another way, sometimes the more we talk about what we're walking through, it waters that more and more, and we become more convinced of that than we do of God. See, and his promises. And that's what I'm really saying here. So let's go back over to Romans chapter 8. Verses 5 and 6. Romans chapter 8, verses 5 and 6. See, God, and he said, let not your heart be troubled. God's not going to control your mind. And the reason he's not going to control your mind is because he made you in his image and likeness. He's given you the authority to control your own mind. So he won't control your mind. See, he may influence us to think this way. How does he do that? Through his word. But if somebody controls your mind, they possess you. That's different. So God won't control your mind. And actually, sort of saying Sunday, the devil can't force you to think something. He can tempt you, but he can't force you to think on something. You can choose to or not to. You can say, I'm not going to think about this. I'm not going to be concerned about this. I'm not going to worry about this. I'm going to meditate in the Word of God. And when you hear, I'm just thinking, when Patsy Harrison, she was being interviewed on a show years ago, and somebody was, it was actually Ed Dufresne's wife, she was interviewing her, and she said, "What's the most significant thing you can remember about your dad?" This is Kenneth E. Hagin. She said, "Well," she said, "the most significant thing I can remember is watching him." And then he said, whenever you get into a challenge or you have the pressures of life come, he said, "Keep your mouth closed, pray in the Spirit more, and only say those things that you're impressed to say by the Spirit." That might be the hardest thing. Or somebody might say, "Keeping my mouth closed is hard." Whatever that is. But I think what he was saying is when you go through the pressures of life, don't talk about them. Don't keep talking about the problem, the problem, the problem, the problem. We're supposed to speak to the problem. Isn't that what it says? Matthew or Mark 11, 23. "Whosoever shall talk about the problem," it says, "say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things that they say shall come to pass, you'll have whatever you say." So we're not to keep talking about the problem. Amen. So Romans chapter 8, verse 5. "For they that are" what? "After the flesh do" what? Mind the things of the flesh. It means you keep your mind on it all the time. "But they that are after the Spirit," the things, you could say, mind, you could put that, you could say, mind the things of the Spirit. "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." Life and peace. So that's what he's saying. We're to keep our minds, like Brother Hagin said, for years and years and years and years. We need to be more God inside minded. Keep our minds on him. Amen. So let's turn over. I want to look at walking back through some of these scriptures, meditating on them, thinking about them. Philippians chapter 4, verses, and starting in verse 4. Philippians 4, 4. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful," or "be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep," not maybe, "shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you." You know, you got to think on his thoughts. Think on things he's given you. That's why sometimes not only just the Word of God we're to think on, but if prophetic words have been given to you from people that are legitimate, when you get in tough times, think about those things. Think on that. I tell you, I remember it was in 1981. I remember this young lady when I was at the Assembly of God Church in Wyckoff. This young lady walked up to me and said, and she was not a flake person. I wouldn't reject it. She said, "You'll be in full-time ministry in 3 years." And I, you know how you do when you're young, you're thinking, "Oh boy, okay, like I need to go to Bible school, I need to do this, that," so you're off charging. I didn't ask God what he want me to do. So, you know, anyways, so I remember 3 years to the month, because I wrote it down, 3 years to the month in November 1984. Now, I'm now going to Peace Hall. So I left, you know, God told me to leave this Assembly of God church where Pastor John was, and I started going down to Peace Hall to Redeeming Love. And that was in 1982, actually. And so I remember Pastor Clint walked up to me in November of 1984, walked right up to me. He said, my wife and I see you working in the ministry. And I said, and I didn't think about that prophecy, but I thought, well, I'll get back to you. I'll let you know. But all the while, I was unsettled where I was. I just wasn't, there was something amiss, even though I was doing very good. And so 3 years from the time that person told me, 3 years. So in January, I gave my notice, actually in December, and I started in 1985 in January, here, full time. But you got to know that God told you to come, because it was rocky to begin with. So I left not knowing how much I was going to make here, and I had to take a deep breath when I came. A big deep breath. Thank God I knew how to save money, because I had saved a good amount of money. And I said, well, you know how you are with your smart self. Hey, that's no problem. No problem. I'll fill in the extra I need. Not using my faith. You run out real quick. After a year, I depleted my savings. And now I'm down on my knees. Oh, God, what am I going to do? I'm running a car. I got a house payment to make. What the heck? Lord, I need help. Yeah, you know how we are. Everything's all right when you got money in the bank. And the minute you ain't got it, you're down on your knees, bawling like a baby. But the reason I say all that was because when I first came to the ministry, they hired me to do the administrator responsibility, which was really supposed to be Minister Lewis's job. And he was being nudged to come work in the ministry, but he was dragging his feet. I found out later. He was like, yeah, God was dealing with me, but, because he was working for MetLife. And he was dragging. He was dragging his feet. See, so if they had hired him, just see how things worked out. So what happened was they said, well, this is not really working out with you, because I really wasn't called to do that. But they hired me to do that. And they said, well, this is not working. So they said, well, we're not going to fire you, but we're going to have you do this little thing over here. And I had to take a deep breath, because they said, now we're going to cut your salary again. And I'm like, Jesus, this is poverty salary. You might as well give me nothing, because this is not, I could go buy a burger with this. But I'm just saying, I'm not trying to make it criticize, but that's what they could afford. You understand what I mean? You know, ministries do that. Some ministries can't afford to hire anybody. So that was, I'm not trying to down knock the ministry. I'm just saying that's what they were led to pay. That's what they could afford, right? So not long after that, I had to make a choice. I went home and I said, okay, they're not going to fire me. Oh, Jesus, now what? And I said, okay, but I had to reflect. The reason I'm saying all this, I had to think on those things that were lovely and just and pure and of a good report. And I had to go back and think and reflect. What did he tell? He said, what did I tell you? He didn't say, he said, I told you to come work in this ministry. So I had to, you know, as they say in the term, suck it up. I had to suck it up, take a deep breath, and trust God. And say, just like they say, well, we're just going to take a step over this cliff right here and see what goes on here. I could have quit because when I left, I had a director's position. I was overseeing a team of programmers. I had a good job. I'd been there. They didn't want me to go. I was dealing with VPs. I had a very good job. And so I could, they told me, they said, when I left, they said, and HR, anytime you want to come back, you just pick the phone up. That's what they told me. So you don't tell me that wasn't a little carrot right there. Because I'm thinking, well, let's see here. I haven't been gone that long. I've been gone less than 6 months. I could get my hips back right and back in the saddle where I was and not have to deal with this pressure and this problem. See? But I had to go back and look and say, well, wait a minute. What did God tell me? And that's what I heard the Spirit of God say. What did I tell you? No, it's not comfortable. See, if I had left and quit, hey, you know, I just think about, sometimes I reflect on it. I don't get in the ditch over it, but I reflect on it. If I had given up all of the help that I extended and all of the things I did for Pastor Clinton and Sarah and the ministry and help it along, bring it along to another place, not just me, but others, but I'm just thinking my part would have not been there. And I would have not been seen as what? Faithful. And so when you're not faithful, God won't give you something else. You're going to have to, when sometimes in order to get to the next level, you're going to have to go through some seasons where he's going to watch you for a while, not say nothing to you. How you handling that? How you handling that? And then he'll say, okay, did all right, let's give him a little more. Do it all right, give him a little more. And so that's all I'm saying here is that when we're walking through some tests and things, don't throw the towel in. Don't just give up because there's a little pressure. He said, take the promises of God. Take those and put get them in your heart and work those out. Let them work out, as it says, work out your salvation. And not just quit because it's a little uncomfortable. Because, you know, I hearing so many ministers, and of course you've heard them and I have too, that every step you make in the ministry, as God begins to see fit to use you more and more, you're gonna walk through some things. And Pastor Clinton, I know he did this just as a wise person. When we were in choir, he would, you know, for years I'd see him do this. He would test singers. He knew the tonality of and the quality he wanted. So he would try things. He'd say, okay, you, come down here and sing. I want to hear this. And then he might go through the whole alto section, or you might go through the whole tenor section. And that's how sometimes I might have sang with trios or do this because he wanted a certain blend, he wanted a certain style. But he said, I never put a person in a position for them to fail. He said, if they don't have it, I just don't use them. So he never would embarrass anybody. He'd never put any, it was just a general setting, come down here and sing. And then he'd observe it and say, okay, thank you. And that might be the end of it. So I think God is just as wise as we are, right? He's not going to put us in a position to fail. But we have to want it. We have to know, okay, God called me to do this. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to keep pressing towards the mark of the high calling of God. I'm not just going to throw it in. I have to want it. Want what? Want more of God. And with wanting more of God, there's going to be some other things that come along with that. You know, just think about it. You get married, you say, oh, lovey, ha-ha, let's have kids. Isn't that wonderful? And then you have children, and then it's like, nobody told me about all this. So with all of that, there's some stresses and problems that come along with that responsibility. Isn't that correct? But you just don't quit. You just don't throw the towel and I forget this. So it's the same thing. God will give us some response. Well, and today they do. Today they just walk away. They do like this. Here, you take care of them. That's what they do. I'm not making fun of it. That's just what they do. They put children on doorsteps and hand them off to somebody else to take care of them because they don't have the fortitude or the mental fortitude to, as they say, man up or be a woman, be a man, be take care of your responsibilities, you see. And in today's society, the further you get away from God, then there is no right thinking. It's just not. And so, you know, just saying all of that, we need not be anxious. And what this is saying here is we need to think on these things. What does that say in verse 9? Those things which we have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. So we've got to meditate on them. We've got to think about them, act upon them, right? And that's what it says here. And the God of peace shall be with you. Amen. So let's take a look just as we close here. I want to look at this again here. Romans 10 and 9 and 10, because it's important to look at Scripture and see it in the light of what we're talking about. You know, the principles are the same. I've thought about it for years, you know. And just in my own life, wondering why things weren't working in the area of finances. And the Holy Spirit had to reveal that to me. Said, if you would work the word in the area of finances like you're working the word in the area of healing, you won't have room enough to contain it all. So he told me I was the problem. I was not acting upon, or I was not believing that my seed that was planted would produce. I'm just putting it in, believing God's going to bring it. Yeah, okay, but you got to open your mouth. You've got to believe and then speak with your mouth that the seed that I've planted is going to produce. And that's exactly what this is saying here. That if thou, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe what? Believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So with the heart man believeth, and with the mouth confession is made. You're going to confess what you believe. So if you're going to talk about your problem, if you're going to talk about, oh, woe is me, if you're going to talk about the pressure, and you're going to talk about the fact that I have no peace, I can't sleep. I can't sleep. I can't sleep. I can't sleep. I just have no peace. There's the problem. You can't sleep because you're talking about it. You're saying, I can't sleep. I can't sleep. I'm just troubled. This is bothering me. It's keeping me up all night. You know how people talk. And so you're having what you believe and you're speaking it. You're saying it. So you've opened the door to agitation and to being troubled, right? And not having peace. And so we need to do what? We need to believe in our hearts that Jesus said, my peace I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You've got to believe that he extended that. He's given it to the church. And we have to do what? Thank you, Lord. What do you say when somebody gives you a gift? You say, thank you. I receive it. Most times people are saying, but I don't feel, just like That's why I read that. I don't feel anything. So I didn't get it. And what did Brother Hagin say? You just go sit down, you're not going to get anything. So what do you have to say? You have to say, you're not saying, well, I didn't get peace, I'm still in turmoil. Well, then you won't walk in peace. You won't receive it. And you'll walk from meeting to meeting to meeting to meeting to meeting, asking God for peace. And so somebody's going to say, when are you going to receive it? When are you going to receive it? You keep asking God to give it to me. He gave it to you in the 50th meeting before. When are you going to receive it and accept it and believe that you received it and then do what? Walk in it. You got to walk in it. Amen. So these principles, you know, that's the reason we keep talking about this, keep sharing it, because the more we do, the more when we run crosswise with the word, we let the Spirit of God rise up and say, why are you doing that? When are you going to believe the word? When are you going to receive it and act on it? I heard this one particular minister. He said, I taught faith, still teaches faith. He said, I've taught faith for decades, and I'm driving down the road realizing I'm not in faith over this. I'm talking it, but I'm not in it. What happened? His heart revealed. It was revelation to him. He wasn't in faith in this particular area. See? And that's the thing here. The more we keep thinking on the word, the Holy Spirit will help us to reveal to us that some of these areas, we're going to have to take it, just like we will fight somebody. You saved? Yes, sir, I'm saved. You sure? You sure don't look it. And you'd fight somebody over that. But when it comes to saying, are you in peace? You know how people say, well, tell your face. Tell your face. You know? So, I mean, we just have to, you know, take the word, and it doesn't mean these problems and things don't exist, but when they do, what did Jesus confront the devil with? He confronted him with the word. He confronted him with the word. It is written. It is written. It is written. It is written. And we're going to have to do the same thing. When these things come and they try to just make your mind, you know, all of us have been through things where you just said, man, this don't look good in the natural. You just got to rise up and say, I like what Brother Hagin says, Pastor Hagin. I will not be defeated and I will not quit. And I've heard just small stories of some of the stuff they walk through, and it's just you. Sometimes you'd say, I wouldn't. In a natural, you'd go, I wouldn't tolerate that. But God has given them a heart. He's inserted into them a grace to do that. If you don't have the grace to do it, you wouldn't do it. You wouldn't tolerate it. You just say, no, no. But He's given them a grace to do that. But when they walk through hard times, what do? They say, I will not be defeated and I will not quit. I'm not going to be defeated. I'm not quitting. I heard Pastor Tim Rogers say this. You know, he's been here a number of times. He's been on the field. He's been down in Mexico City for all these years, almost 20-some years. And he said, I'm not anybody special. You know, the way he means it. He said, I just didn't quit. I just didn't quit. I didn't give up. And we had opportunities to quit. Problems, stresses, and things going on when you're in the, you know, doing something, missionary work. He said, I just didn't quit. A lot of missionaries just quit. They just quit too much. And people quit in life. They just unhook. I'm quitting. It's easy to just quit. It's easy when it don't look good in your body. It's just easy to just quit and die. That's easy. You can just say, I'm just giving up. I'm tired. I just want to die. Well, that's easy to do. And it's easy, you know, other things in life, you can just responsibilities. You know, you run into problems, you can say, I've had enough. I'm just going to get a divorce. That's easy to do. It's more work to work at it, isn't it? And it's the same thing with peace and trouble and turmoil. It's easy to just let your mind run crazy. You just sit there and just get in a ditch. But it takes some effort to fight it, to confront it and say, no, I'm not going to do that. God said this, and I'm going to stand against it. That's what Galatians 5:1 says. Stand therefore in the liberty. Stand fast, therefore, is the King James. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Don't do it. Don't do it. Stand fast. Make your choice as a child of God. I'm not giving in. I'm going to confront this in the name of Jesus. Anything that's come to steal and to rob me of my peace, rob me of my joy, rob me of my children, rob me of my family, rob me of my money, rob me of things that God has promised me, stand fast. Say, no, I'm standing up against it. I can choose to do that. Amen. Father, we thank you. Thank you in the name of Jesus for stirring our hearts. Thank you, Father, for watering our hearts with the power of God's word. And we thank you for it. Thank you, Father, that we choose this day to stand fast in the liberty wherewith you've made us free. We are free in Christ. And we here are seated in heavenly places with Christ and in Christ. And Father, we're seated far above principalities and powers and might and every dominion and every name that is named. We're seated above it. And Father, we thank you. We take our place and we confront those things that get thrown at us. And Father, we enforce the position that we have. We enforce the word of God against these situations in our life. And we thank you, Father, for the victory that we have in Christ Jesus. And we thank you that we're overcomers through him. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Keep the switch of faith activated and turned on. Keep your heart tuned in to God. Amen. Amen.